you. Welcome. Certainly a blessing once again to be in front of you and to share the greatness of God's Word. What a tremendous privilege it is. Amen?
Amen.
Can I hear that again? Amen? Amen? Okay,
yeah,
what an awesome privilege to get into God's Word, because you know what we're going to talk about this morning? It's going to really bless Al. He mentioned it to me last night. He didn't even know about this. It was already planned way before I even had a conversation. He was telling me about how he loves to teach people about who they are. Well, lo and behold, Al, the name of my teaching is, Who Are You? I just love the way that God works this stuff out. I really, truly do. Gosh, you know, there's so many things that I think about when I think about this particular subject, about who are you? Who are you? Well, you know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a teacher, I'm an auto mechanic, I'm a window cleaner, I'm a musician, I work at the post. Well, yeah, you know, in reality, you have a secular type of thing. Generally, if you're working, even if you're not, you're a house maker. What is that? Homemaker. You're a homemaker. You're raising children, you're a mother, and many times people wear multiple different types of hats, see. But there's some other words that I want to think about too. How about supernatural? How about spirit-filled? How about partakers of the divine nature? How about children of light, sons of God, light-bearers, lights in the world, Christ, you belong to Christ. A member of the body of Christ with a very unique function and a very unique place and a very unique ministry that only you can fulfill, that God has called you to. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That you are fully, completely, 100%, totally immersed in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is who you are. This is who you are. I am a son of God. You are a son of God. I don't care what the circumstances may appear to be like. That is who you are. You know why? That's what God's Word says about you. We're going to look at it here real quick. 1 John chapter 3. Man, that's been the question of all time, because many people aren't satisfied with this. They feel like they have to prove themselves somewhere else to get the type of recognition and the accolades, see, from the world, trying to think that they get identified with that, and then they'll feel better about themselves. The truth of God's Word is, find out who you are as a believer, as a son of God, a child of God, a son of God. Then, hey, accomplish everything in the world that you want. Priorities, though. Priorities. 1 John chapter 3. Oh my gosh. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God. We are the sons of God. See? Therefore, the world doesn't know us, because guess what? Didn't know Him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Actually, in that first verse, it says, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And in some translations, there's another three words. It says, And we are. And we are. How about you? What do you think about yourself? Who are you? You know what? Many people feel worthless. They feel unworthy. They feel like they're not accomplishing anything in life. Why? Checkbook? Is your value dependent upon the amount of money you have in the bank?
No.
Absolutely not. Your value is dependent upon what God says about you and who you really, really, truly are. Verse 2, Beloved, now. When?
Now.
Now. When is that? That's right now. That's right this second. Now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know that one thing. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we're going to see Him just like He is. Now, the eternal now. That's not 5 seconds ago. It's now. You're going to say this with me if you choose to. Now am I a son of God. Let's say it. Now am I a son of God. That's now. That's not 5 minutes ago. Now. Now. See. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we are right now. See. Oh my gosh. We've had such great exposure to such tremendous teaching of the Word of God trying to get us to identify with the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ. Oh my gosh. This is so powerful. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Well, I had a really hard time putting this teaching together, can't you tell? I really had to struggle through this one. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This is so awesome because, you know, I heard it in Jeannie's manifestation that God wants us to understand the power of Christ within us. That's what we're talking about here. We aren't just, we're just a nobody walking through life. This is the purpose that God gave His Son. This is the reason why Jesus Christ came into this world, ladies and gentlemen. To give you spiritual power and strength beyond your human ability. Oh my gosh. Look at this, verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with how many? All spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. These letters could be 10 feet wide and 10 feet tall. See, God has blessed us. But how often do we think about that? What? Some of you have seen that with someone who did that a number of years ago. Whatever. You know, no big deal. You are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You will be what the Word of God says you will be. You can do what the Word of God says you can do. That's what God's Word says. And God says in the Word that He hid this from mankind, all generations, all ages. This was a great mystery. This was a great mystery. See? That God, at a certain point in time in history, revealed this to mankind. It's far beyond our human comprehension about the plan that God had set in motion. See? There's many verses that lead up to this and explain it. But really, it's a very simple truth. But rather than explain it myself, I want you to listen to something. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. This is probably the greatest, most phenomenal, inspired sharing of this particular section of God's Word that I have ever heard in my entire life. And many of you have heard this before, and I believe that you will agree with me as you begin to really listen to it. And for those of you who have never heard this, you are about to get really inspired. So Fred, hit it.
Well, we'll go to Colossians.
Pick it a little up a little bit.
Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 1. Verse 25, chapter 1. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation. Again, the word is oikonomia, administration. Whereof I am made a minister according to the administration of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. This mystery, again, which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory. Listen to that. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is. Which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a tremendous revelation. That mystery was hidden from before the foundation of the world. What mystery? That it would be Christ in you. Imagine that. When Jesus Christ was here upon earth, how many places could he be at one time? One place, that's all. But when a person's born again of God's Spirit, it is Christ in you. Christ in you. Here's a man born again of God's Spirit, it's Christ in him. Here's another one, it's Christ in him. Here's another one, it's Christ in him. How many places can Christ be since the day of Pentecost? How many can he be this very time, at this very time? As many places as there are born-again believers who know the word and speak it for it. That's something. That's the mystery. Christ in you. Christ in you. Imagine that with Christ in you. Does that make you a person? I should say so. You can throw your shoulders back and for once in your life you can breathe and you can walk. You know you're a son of God. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. When you walk down the streets of your community, in your city, it's Christ in you. Christ in you. Ladies and gentlemen, what a power the church has if they only knew it. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That was the mystery. Hey, while Jesus Christ was here upon earth, he was the bridegroom. The bridegroom and the bride are separated. There are two individuals, right? But in the body, the church, there's no separation. It's one. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. What a tremendous truth. Man, that puts an effervescence in the soul of a man or a woman. That just gets the thrill of the power of God in the life of a man. Because that's how God planned it. That's why he kept it as a mystery until the day of Pentecost when they were born again. Never told it then yet until some years later when he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. The mystery that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and that it would be Christ in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. So when I walk down the street, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That gives me some strength. That gives me some power. Ladies and gentlemen. What power we've got if we only do it. Because we belong to him. He belongs to us. He's in us. Born again of God's Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Hardly believe it. It's so big. It's so wonderful. It's so tremendous. That when you teach it to people many times, they just sit there. Enraptured, awed, because they have never seen it in the Word, and for once in their life it fits. The Word fits like a hand in a glove. They understand the bride of the Gospels, the church, the bride of Christ of the book of Revelation, and they understand the church, the body of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, says Paul, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony. And the word testimony is the word mysteron, meaning mystery of Christ. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. The reason he could only talk to them about Jesus Christ and him crucified is because the vast majority of them could not receive the greatness of the revelation that I'm sharing with you. All the further he could go with them was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's about as far as you can go today in any Protestant church. Jesus Christ and him crucified. What's on the center of the altar? Always the cross. Right. They don't go any further today. Jesus Christ and him crucified. On top of the church, we see the steeple, but on top of the steeple, we see the cross. What's central? Always the cross. That's just, you can't go far with them because they will not receive the greatness of the revelation. Paul came to the people in Corinth. They couldn't receive the greatness of the revelation. The vast majority of them because all he could speak unto them was about Jesus Christ and him crucified. You do not have salvation in the crucifixion. You have salvation in the resurrection and the ascension and the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Verse 3 says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In demonstration of the Spirit. Well, how do you demonstrate Spirit? There are only 9 manifestations. The only demonstration there is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, and healing. There are only 9. So he said, I demonstrated the Spirit unto you, that your faith, your believing, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but that your believing should stand in the power of God. Howbeit, verse 6 says, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect here in verse 6 of chapter 2 of Corinthians is the word that is used when people have been initiated into the highest degree of the secrets of Greek religion. When they had reached the highest echelon of the highest degree that they could earn in the Greek religions, that's the word perfect that's used here. It means the completely initiated ones. So he said, among the few of you who have grown up and been initiated into the deeper things of the walk with Christ, I can speak wisdom, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God regarding the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now listen, verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Who is the great prince of this world? The Bible says Satan. The princes of this world include Satan and all of his hosts all the way down. This hidden wisdom, this hidden mystery, none of the princes of this world knew. Why? Because the mystery was hidden in God from before the foundation of the world and wasn't made known until it was made known to the Apostle Paul. None of the princes of this world knew. For, it says, listen to verse 8. For had they, the princes of this world, known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Because when Jesus Christ was here upon earth, he could only be at one place at one time. But after he ascended up into heaven and on the day of Pentecost gave the power of the Holy Spirit, where it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, every place where there is a believer, Christ is present. And old Satan would much rather have had the Lord Jesus Christ here personally present than to have believers who know the God, Word of God and go out. Because if you've got 1,000 people who believe God's Word, they can chop old Satan's ears off 1,000 times. Boy! None of the princes of this world knew, for had they known this mystery, had they known what was coming, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. That's what the word says. That's what it means. You talk about a mystery, a secret. This is a tremendous thing. That's right. That's right. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James. 1 Peter, I want to read you verse chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 10. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 1, here we are, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching out what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which upon them was upon them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What a tremendous section. You know what these prophets of the Old Testament searched for? They saw a period between here and here. They saw the sufferings of Christ and the glory. Whenever the Bible mentions the word sufferings regarding Christ, it always mentions the word glory with it. But many times it talks about the glory of Christ, but never mentions the sufferings. Now, these prophets Search diligently. Well, what did they search? Not Life, Looker, Time, Saturday Evening Post, or Reader's Digest. They searched the Word of God. They searched the Word. What were they looking for? That period of grace. They saw a period of grace in here. They searched. Well, what did they search? The Old Testament. They looked for it. They couldn't find it. Why? Because it was hidden. They searched diligently. Search diligently, as it says, for the grace that should come unto you. Because it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory. Here you have the sufferings of Christ. Here is where they crucified him. Here is where they nailed him to a cross. Here is where they laughed him to scorn. But these are the sufferings of Christ. Back here is his glory. Here he comes in all of his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here he comes with the great power of God. And these prophets looked for in the period here. How long is it in here? They saw a period of grace. They saw this wonderful period of grace. They couldn't find out how long it was between the sufferings and the glory, because this period was hidden in God until it was revealed. And this is the ecclesia, where the Jews and the Gentiles are called out, and they make the body of Christ, which is the great mystery, which is the church of grace, which is the church of the epistles to which you and I belong. This is the greatest secret in the whole world, the church of the body of Christ, to which you and I belong. Had Satan known this, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But he didn't know it, so he crucified him. And God sent the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And when he sent this power, men and women were born again for the first time. And they had Christ in them, the hope of glory. And he was the head of that wonderful body, called out from both Jew and Gentile, making a new body, a new creation, the body of Christ, which is the church of God. And this was the great secret which was hidden. And to this body, you and I belong today, which is the greatest revelation in the world today, giving us the power of God, for it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
One of the greatest sharings of all time on the power of God in Christ in you. Had the devil known it, he never would have followed through, but God is smart. God knew. Now, every person, Romans 10, 9 and 10, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. At that moment, spirit life miraculously goes into a person, and you have Christ in you. Christ in you. I love that. Christ in you. How many times does he say it? Over and over. Think he's trying to make a point? See? We live in a world that's distracting, temptations, all these things that are trying to get us to not believe that. Because the one thing Satan doesn't want is for you to ever believe you could really do something for God. You're nobody. All you do is make mistakes. You're weak. You're that. You're that. I don't know how I could say it any more clearly. What power the church had. They only knew it. You ever heard Ken Petty teach on this particular topic? It's called identification with Christ, right? See? When we will rise up to really believe, to really say, to really understand, to go to God, to have Him help us to understand it and to see it. But even greater than that is to walk. As a son of God, in a relationship, and to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let God open the doors in front of us. See, when this body of Christ, with each member in particular, with the renewed mind, the Word of God on in their minds, functioning harmoniously, God's Word says it brings great praise and great glory to God. You know, these verses in Peter, the final one there, and maybe this would be a good one to close with. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. You should be right there. Talks about the sufferings, talks about the glory. The administration we live in right now is called what? Grace. It's the grace administration, but this was coming to an end. This is coming to an end at some point. The moment Christ returns, it's over. Verse 12 says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto them themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, sent down from heaven, which things it says the what? Angels desire to look into." Angels didn't even know it. The only one that knew it was God. See? From the beginning, this period in time, see, where mankind can just enter into this beautiful relationship with God. God gives man the Spirit. Now He's enabled us. He's given us the manifestations of the Spirit. We can minister to one another. We can heal. We can walk with God. We can be in situations. We can manifest the love of God in such a unique and special way. We have the four Gospels. That's the life of Jesus Christ. That's a great example of someone, well, He, who now lives within us. That means you've got everything that Christ ever had living within you. The ability to love like Christ. The ability to walk like Christ. The ability to hear from God like Christ. You fill in the blank. Ladies and gentlemen, you are what the Word of God says you are. You have what the Word of God says you have. You can do what the Word of God says you can do, and you will be what the Word of God says you will be. Not because I say it, because that is the truth of the Word. Heavenly Father God, thank You for opening the eyes and hearts of our understanding, Lord, that we can simply acknowledge the greatness of the power of God in our lives. And Lord, help us to be bold and confident, really to throw our shoulders back and to take a deep breath and to realize that it's all about You and all about Your Son, Jesus Christ, and what's been done for us. And so very little really about us. Thank You, Father, for the dynamics of this Word of God working in our heart. Thank You for wonderful men and women who have gone before us, Father, blazed a great trail of a love and believing and understanding in Your Word. And that, Father, we really get this thing. That it's not what power the church had if we only knew it, but that we do know it. We have exposure to it, and that we can live this and live our lives in great success and great fulfillment because of the power of the Spirit that lives within us. So thank You, Lord, for this wonderful morning to be together, to exhort and to help God's people and myself to really more fully believe who we really are. We pray in the name of our brother Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.